It seems only fitting that green power should pay additional benefits to the environment. We're going to mix up our colors here, but the blue sky option for Pacific Power customers is the green option, power from renewable energy sources. And some of the money paid for the renewables ends up in stream restoration projects around the region, making better habitat for fish. The projects involve several partners, including the Freshwater Trust. Eugene Weir is the project manager of the program for the Freshwater Trust and our guest on The Exchange. Eugene, thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Jeffrey. Appreciate the opportunity to talk about this great work that is happening through the Blue Sky Habitat Fund.
Let's start with the easy questions. What is the Freshwater Trust?
We're a 501c3 nonprofit. We're Portland-based, and we work primarily in Oregon, but we're also doing some work in Idaho, California, and moving into Washington a little bit. Our work is, you know, we use cooperative market-based approaches, benefit rivers, working lands, and local communities. The short of that is really our mission is to fix every river. And so we're looking for innovative ways to both improve the pace and scale of restoration, as well as infusing resources into the restoration economy.
And when you say market-based approaches to restoration projects, how is that?
An example of that would be the contract we have with the city of Medford currently. We're developing riparian shade projects that create shade on rivers where it currently is lacking, on the Rogue, Applegate, and many of the tributaries of the Rogue. And we serialize that and are able to deliver that to Medford in the form of a credit that helps them offset their obligations where the wastewater treatment plant returns to the Rogue, where they have a slight temperature increase on the Rogue, and they're able to use shade as a way to mitigate that. And so that, and through that approach, we're able to do the work that we really feel is valuable, which is improving riparian areas and adding the riparian component that will both produce the shade and also filter the water and create the long-term habitat for fish.
All right, let me understand again, because the phone gets a little garbly at times, but basically they're allowed to put out a slightly higher temperature than would otherwise be permitted at the wastewater treatment plant in Medford, but in return, they have to put these trees in place with your help.
Yeah, well, they were going to have to build a cooling tower or some other sort of engineered structure to deal with a small temperature exceedance. We're able to mitigate that exceedance and at the same time produce a lot of other auxiliary habitat and benefits through that project.
The Freshwater Trust points out on its website that your take on conservation is decidedly not more of the same. I mean, what has been some of the major set of hang-ups with restoration projects?
Well, a big piece of it is scale and trying to get up to the level where we're actually addressing, we're fixing rivers faster than they're being degraded. And so a lot of our work is to develop the platforms. Like, we're working on a software platform that allows project managers and project developers to more quickly and efficiently develop projects so we can scale up the work that we're doing. And that's a big piece of it.
In general, what's the kind of restoration work that is needed in many streams, or is it just as different as the streams themselves?
There's a variety of stuff that needs to be done. A lot of times, you know, our heavy focus is on riparian, but we have three main areas we work on rivers. We have staff that work on returning flows, so we work with landowners to create efficiency projects that can return more water to stream rather than having it wasted on irrigation that's inefficient. So we work on in-stream water and bringing water back to streams. We also work on riparian habitat and near-stream habitat, which benefits both salmon and steelhead and streams, as well as wildlife species. And we also we do this water quality type work where we're creating tradable products and doing our work through that. And we also have a habitat focus where we actually build log jams and create the in-stream habitat that often is lacking in many of our streams right now.
So does that involve actually some engineering? I know I've seen years past people cabling logs into streams to make sure that they were resting pools for fish. Is that sort of thing still very much in vogue?
Yes, we do some of that work. We are actively working on that up north, particularly in the Sandy Salmon River watershed in Clackamas. And we also have some of those projects under development down here in the Rogue. Much needed throughout the all of Oregon and the Pacific Northwest.
In the categories you listed there, I mean, you mentioned water quality is one of those, so that would be where the Medford project would come in.
That's right. Yeah, that's an example of a project that is funded through a water quality trading program, and that is infusing a lot of money into our local Rogue watershed and we'll probably accomplish something in order of 15 to 20 miles of river restoration through that program.
The issue of returning flow, though, and it certainly seems to become more critical in years like this one where there just isn't a lot of water to be had out there. The snowpack is just miserable, particularly as you go further south in Oregon. This seems like if you have enough money to work with here, you could certainly provide benefits to the stream and to the irrigator, who would get more efficient equipment.
That's right. Yeah, it's usually, and that's what we really focus on. We're not an advocacy group. We're really trying to put boots on the ground and develop solutions that work for both working lands, communities, and the environment. So we really work hard to try and come up with projects that not only improve the overall value and productiveness of working lands, but also benefit the environment.
And are you thinking about this very holistically in the sense of just doing a general improvement to a stream, or are there certain species of fish that you focus on more directly?
Well, the fish species, particularly the listed species like coho, are a big driver of our work, but we're certainly not completely focused on fish. We really try to look at things more in, from a water quality lens and a habitat lens, thinking about what supports the fish that we're concerned with.
And is it a case of where if you build good habitat for coho, it's generally going to be good habitat for other fish that live in the same stream?
That's right, yeah. And, you know, coho may be some of the more restricted distribution, so we also are focusing on streams that benefit coho, but also steelhead and Chinook salmon, both spring, Chinook, and fall.
We're talking to Eugene Weir, who's the project manager for the Freshwater Trust. We're talking about stream restoration projects funded in part by money that comes in through the Blue Sky Renewable Power Program at Pacific Power. You can join our discussion on the Jefferson Exchange if you have questions or comments. Maybe you've already checked that box and you get Blue Sky Power through your power bill. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 around the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So you have some projects that have been funded through. How does the whole Blue Sky connection work then, Eugene?
Yeah, so there's roughly 76,000 Blue Sky customers that they elect to participate in the Blue Sky program through Pacific Power. They're scattered throughout Oregon, Washington, California. And when they're once you've chosen to participate in the Blue Sky program, you have the option to add an additional $250 a month, and that money goes directly to habitat work. And there's about 4,500 customers in Oregon that elect to do that. And so Pacific Power has chosen the Freshwater Trust to administer these funds, the Habitat Funds. And we've been doing that for about 4 years, and we were recently selected to do that for another three. This program's been in operation since 2002. There's been roughly 73 projects and 176 miles of stream improved through this work. So it's touched a lot of places and a lot of people. It's been a really powerful program, and for the small contribution people make, it actually moves a lot on the ground.
So but you can only add the $250 for the habitat if you're already getting the Blue Sky program?
Yeah, so I think that's how it works. If you're in Blue Sky, then you can elect to add the $250, the habitat option.
Okay, and there's a bunch of projects listed here. It looks like all similar amounts of funding, somewhere either side of $25,000 on most of these. Some worked, you're talking about there's one here for the Rogue Valley Council of Governments, the City of Medford, and numerous partners. Is that the one you already mentioned about the providing shade?
No, this is so these are projects we basically solicit partner groups. We go throughout, the folks we work with in Oregon and throughout the region. We send out an RFP asking for proposals, and we got back this year a bunch of good ones. And so then we go through and we sort of work on selecting out of that. We call the folks that we are, have submitted. We talk to them about the project. We think about how it fits in context of the work that we're aware of and the things that we're involved in and that we know are going on in watersheds, as well as the limiting factors in those watersheds. And we score these applications and we hone them down, kind of like a job interview. We get to the point where we start to, because our grant is the Blue Sky money that's coming in is usually not enough to pay for an entire project, so we're looking at what other funds have been committed, what other partners are involved, and we vet that down to a handful of projects. This year we selected four and funded those with a total of $102,000 or roughly that to fund these four projects. That was around $25,000 per. On average, an average Blue Sky grant is around $30,000 for project work. And in this case, the Rogue Valley Council of Governments had applied for this grant to support the work they're doing in combination with the Jobs Council, City of Medford, and Oregon Stewardship. And this is a project that's addressing riparian conditions through downtown Medford. So it's from 10th Street down, and it is about a mile of stream corridor, and it's heavily impacted by a variety of different reasons. It's been urbanized, and what we know is that the City of Medford has purchased several lots down there and is developing some extra parking, and that there's an opportunity to develop even more robust riparian habitat in a pretty needy section there. And so there's been a lot of work going on down there through other community groups, and this grant to this project supports that and adds more momentum so that they're able to hire the Job Council, which uses at-risk youth to help develop these projects. So there's many benefits, not just for the stream, but to the local economy and also our local citizens.
Yeah, Bear Creek has had a long and troubled history, certainly through downtown Medford. There was the major dam right downtown, right next to Jackson Street, removed several years ago. Bruce Babbitt swung the first sledgehammer blow when he was the Interior Secretary, but it's still been seen as the home of shopping carts and trash for a long time, and it clearly has a lot more work ahead of it.
Yeah, and as we've seen this year, it's been threatening with abnormally low water. And so, again, that's where, you know, developing these riparian habitat projects that improve the conditions there. They improve the filtering capacity from runoff. They also shade the stream, and you know, that shade is very much needed during stressful years like this.
Now, I noticed there's also a riparian restoration project on Lone Pine Creek, which is a tributary of Bear Creek itself, isn't it?
Yeah, and this was an application we got from Loma Kotze Restoration Project. They're a local group that is involved in all sorts of restoration, upland and riparian. And they have been working with Cascade Christian High School there for a number of years. And Cascade Christian has kind of adopted a section of Bear Creek there immediately below Lone Pine. And they've been actively working over a number of years and developed some pretty nice restoration work there. So when we saw this application come in, we were excited about it because although Lone Pine is a heavily degraded stream, it actually provides a pretty good stopover point for salmon and steelhead that are moving up Bear Creek in one of the hottest and most degraded reaches. So by getting extra shade on this stream, which almost has none at this point in this reach, it's about a 700 or 800 foot reach where there's really lacking trees completely, will benefit salmon and steelhead by helping to keep that water a little cooler. There's also some pretty intense aquatic vegetation in this channel because of the sun, and that vegetation influences the water chemistry, which can have a real impact on fish that are trying to use that water as a stopover point. Surprisingly, Lone Pine is often cooler than Bear Creek at that point. So this is a great project that will involve students from the school. We'll continue to build on the stewardship work they're doing at the school, and it also fits in well with upstream restoration work that's going to be happening in front of the Medford Airport on Lone Pine Creek as well.
Really? Okay, that's where it joins up with Bear Creek, is somewhere in that neighborhood, like around where the car dealerships are in North Medford?
It basically, Lone Pine comes into Bear Creek just under the Table Rock Bridge. So if you're if you drive over Table Rock Road and you cross over Bear Creek there on that big long bridge, Lone Pine's coming in right there.
Okay. And I see there's also a restoration, stream flow restoration project going on for Deer Creek, which folks in the Selma area will know.
Yeah, this is an exciting one. Possibility to return quite a bit of flow to the stream. It's removing a couple of different diversions that currently do irrigation to canals that leak, and so it's an upgrade, like we talked about, a little bit of an efficiency project where it will become a pump system on demand rather than a constant withdrawal. So it will remove both barriers and also add water to several miles of stream that currently get dewatered by this large irrigation diversion.
I can see the difference now then, as you mentioned, that this is not business as usual, because, for example, you can do things that make resting pools for fish. You can create physical structures in streams, but what you're essentially talking about doing is setting up structures by which behavior and the way streams are used changes.
Yeah, and, you know, a big part of our work is, you know, obviously you have to have water. So when we see a project like this come through that returns water to stream, that's in our mind, that's a big, you know, value. That's a really valuable project, because if you can put water back into a stream channel that's being dewatered, and that stream provides habitat like Deer Creek does for coho, chinook, steelhead, lamprey. I mean, the stream has all of our fish species that we're concerned with, and when you can return them to, you know, 2 to 6 miles of habitat that they didn't have access to or were maybe even dying in because it dried up at a time when they were trying to out-migrate, we think that's really valuable work. And so we get really excited when we see applications coming in from these partner groups that are working on these projects, and it's tough to find the funding and to couple these things together. And so this Blue Sky Habitat Fund can really be an important piece to help make these projects move forward and come to fruition.
When you talk about that it's tough to find the funding, though, it seems like you guys have gotten pretty good at figuring out how to leverage dollars. It's like, okay, we have this $25,000. Anybody else want to throw anything more in here?
Yeah, and that's the name of the game with a lot of this habitat work. And ultimately, it's fairly, you know, extensive, and it requires a lot of stewardship. And so these small groups or community-based groups, in this case, the Illinois Valley Watershed Council, and SWCDs, which are the folks who work on soil and water conservation, you know, these funds can really help them couple together what's needed to do these projects. And so for us, one of the benefits the Freshwater Trust can bring to this program is that we're actively working in a lot of these basins, and we have a pretty good understanding of some of the limiting factors that fish are facing and that are impairing water quality. And so we're able to use what we know along with our relationships with the various partner groups in these basins to sort of select out the projects that we think will bring the biggest bang for the buck.
Given that we're in a drought year, and I know that that presents some problems, does it present some opportunities as well, Eugene? I mean, are there things you can do in stream restoration that you might not have been able to do if the streams were as full as they would normally be?
Well, that's a good question. The in-stream work window is just about to start for folks doing log projects and that kind of thing, and actually the Deer Creek project will start in the next couple of days, beginning next week, with that in-stream work window open. So, yes, lower water may provide us some opportunities, but overall we'd like to see streams flowing.
That is obviously the major goal of the Freshwater Trust, where Eugene Weir is the project manager for several programs taking place around the region, as you heard, funded in part by the Blue Sky program and people checking off the box for $250 for habitat work on their power bills. Eugene, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You bet. That'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. We'll take to the Pacific Crest Trail in hour two.